ministry by the name of Crossroads of Columbus. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, if y'all don't mind. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come out and bring awareness and to testify about what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people in it. I pray blessing over them, Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless this service. Lord, just bless the testimonies, bless the guys for giving it, and bless the ears that hear it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, my name is Hank Johnson. Some of you may know. I'm from Columbus, Mississippi. My dad was from Selligent. I used to be a drug addict, been set free by Jesus, you know. And now we're trying to help men like us get free and stay free. And so I'm here today representing Crossroads of Columbus, like I said, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank y'all for letting us come out here, first and foremost. Thank y'all. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to do something like this and have somebody let us come do it. We're a young ministry. Dusty started this ministry probably 3 years ago, and it's going to expand soon. But what Crossroads is now is a faith-based sober living facility that houses up to 20 men. We are here for men that struggle with addiction and need a fresh start. Our program is 9 months. The guys are expected to go to church every week, attend 4 meetings weekly, and these are faith-based Bible study meetings. These are faith-based ministry meetings. They go to work every day and do chores around the house. We do community service once a month. Our mission is to show these men how to live sober and give them a foundation in Jesus Christ. Like I said, it's been around for about 3 years. And I'm going to invite Dusty up here now. Dusty Snyder is the founder of Crossroads, and he's going to tell y'all a little bit about how Crossroads came about.
How y'all doing? I'm Dusty Snyder. Thank y'all for having us. I'll give you a little history of me, background on me. I was a drug addict for 15 years. Hurt my hip when I was in high school and got prescribed the pain pills and quickly became addicted to them before I ever knew what was going on. As my drug addiction progressed, I became an IV user, and that caused me to inject an infection in my bloodstream that eventually affected my heart valve. I've had 3 open heart surgeries, and I'm only 38 years old. And it's directly because of my drug use. And all 3 surgeries, I stared death right in the face. And I had doctors, nurses all telling me there's no medical reason that I'm still alive. And that's where, I know Jesus Christ is the only reason that I am alive. And he obviously wasn't done with me. That's where I turned my life around, and I never understood quite why. I grew up in church, but for 15 years, when you're on drugs, you know, you're rubbing elbows with the devil. I was not living for him. He had no reason to save me, but he did it anyway, just because he loves you. If he could love me like that, I mean, he could love anybody. So I told him from that day forward, I know I didn't go through drug addiction 15 years for nothing. I didn't break my mama's heart. I didn't do all that bad stuff that goes on, the robbing and stealing and all that stuff for nothing. I wanted my story, and I wanted to help people not have to go through what I did. So we first started, I also have another ministry that was the first one we started. It's called Bodybuilders. And as you see, we don't lift weights. It is building the body of Christ. So we have a meeting. It's on the first and third Friday, and we have a meal, and we have testimonies and worship. And it started off with 5 or 10 people. We had a little Walmart sandwich tray with some off-brand oatmeal pies for desserts and water to drink. Now we have over 100 people come every Friday. We have a full course meal with a full dessert bar, and because that's some people's, that's the best meal they have all week. Because it's our outreach ministry. It's the people in the streets. It's this, I call it the church for the unchurched. It's people that's never been to church before. So it's a really cool thing. And through that, I was taking the trash out one night, and I seen an old abandoned building behind our church. It used to be a dentist's office, and it happened to be open. So, and some of my old ways came back, and I wanted to see what was inside. So I snuck in there, and I started flashing, looking around. There's a bunch of dentist's office rooms or whatever, and I was like, man, this would be perfect for a sober living house. And I just told my preacher that we tell all these people to come. We want to help them, and when they come, they need jobs and they need housing. And I was like, I don't want to just say I want to help people. I want to be able to help them. So let's get this. Let's see if we can turn this into sober living, because that's what we do. We get them back to work. We get them going to church. We get them being productive citizens in society again. So, and we house them. So, anyways, I found my cousin and one of my best friends growing up are investors. So I told them about my dream, what I wanted to do, and about the building. And they told me find out who owns it and all that kind of stuff. And I went to dig it and figured it out. And because of what we're doing, they gave it to us for a really good price. And then we were blessing them. They built a brand new building for us. And, okay. And through that, now we house 20 men there. And through that, we've also been blessed with just getting a church donated to us. So we're going to turn that into our first step. So we got the bodybuilders, that's the maintenance program for the rest of your life. We got the sober living house, which is our, to get them back on their feet. Now we just need that first stage, which is the discipleship program. And that's what it's going to be able to house another 30 men when we get to it. But they donated to us, but it needed a lot of work. The roof was falling in, and it needed painting in the wall, all that kind of stuff. So we're in the middle of doing all that right now, and we'll be able to have 50 men in our community now that it's not on the streets, it's not robbing and stealing. They're going to be going to work and be productive citizens in our community, and most importantly, they're going to have Jesus Christ in their life. So that's how Crossroads started, and thank y'all for listening to me.
Dusty's got a really cool story, and I'll tell y'all a little bit about him and I and how we linked up and stuff like that. He got this revelation one day, hey, let's start a faith-based, what you would call a faith-based rehab, but we're going to call it a Christian discipleship program, right? So he's going to different teen challenges trying to get a scope on things, because that's what we want it to be like, is like teen challenge, you know. We actually ordered a Teen Challenge curriculum the other day to teach at this discipleship program. But anyways, I was a student in Teen Challenge when Dusty and the other guys that was working with him then come through checking things out to see how things were going. I was like, well, you know what? That was a year and a half ago from right now. That's probably a year and a half ago. And now we're here. We're actually in the process of getting this thing off the ground, and it's just so cool how God worked everything out and how Dusty just was taking the trash out, and you know, it's really cool what God's doing through Crossroads. Like I said, we're expanding to another facility, so we need the help and support from local churches, whether it be sending people to us, donating time, etc. And I want to give y'all a few statistics on why a ministry like ours is so important to have. Bless her, Lord. Why a ministry like ours is so important right now. In 2022, this is 2022 stats right here. Over 20 million people were diagnosed drug addicts in 2022. And that's just the diagnosed drug addicts. That's the one that's been to the psych wards, that's the ones that's been to the doctor to get Suboxone and all that stuff, rehab centers, that's 20 million people that have been diagnosed. That's not talking about the ones that's out here still struggling, the ones that don't want help, ain't got help yet, but need help. 20 million people in the United States. 2022, there were 109,680 overdose deaths in the United States. And that's off of government websites. That's off of me going and looking for these numbers on legit websites that the government's putting these numbers out. Hey, these are legit numbers. 109,680 people died last year from drug overdose. Right now in America, and this is the CDC putting it out, and all the other big governmental drug administration agencies, Americans from age 18 to 45, the leading cause of death in ages 18 to 45 in adults is fentanyl overdose. It's fentanyl overdose. Number one leading cause of death in ages 18 to 45. That's sick. That's sad. And what we want to do is kick the devil in the teeth. We want to be able to be that place when they pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help.
Yes.
We can help. We can get them out of the street before they die, before they take that last shot, before they take that last pill, before they do that last little bit of whatever it is they like to do. We want to help them.
Amen.
Whether it be alcohol, drugs, it don't matter.
No.
You know, addiction's addiction.
Come on, that's the truth.
I don't care if you're addicted to porn, if you're addicted to money, to women.
Right.
This is what we want. We want to get people set free from all that. We want to get set free from sin.
Yes, sir.
We have a few guys. All three of y'all can come on up. We have three guys today with us. One of them has graduated and is the manager, the live-in manager at the house. Another one is graduating and is sticking around to help. And the last one is going to be, he's been here, what, about 6 months?
7 months.
7 months. And they're just going to tell y'all a little bit about what the Lord's doing in their lives and how he's using Crossroads to do it.
Hey, my name is David Keating. I'm from Columbus, Mississippi. I'm 47 years old. Been in addiction probably since I was in my early 20s. IV use, manufactured meth, in and out of prison my whole life, you know. Never used the Bible. Even in prisons, you know, I never grabbed a Bible in prison because I didn't want to mess with something that I didn't know. You know, I was just sort of scared to because I was a gang member, did lots of bad things in prison to people, you know, and I didn't really, you know, we would do 911 calls, you know, like 911 to Jesus when you go in front of the judge and you're like, please, Lord, don't let him give me 100 years, or when your mom or dad's having heart surgery and ain't got a good chance to live. You're like, Lord, please don't take my mom. Don't take my dad. But you take that for granted because when they come out of surgery, you walk on about it. You just go on and you go right back to addiction. When I was probably 30 years old, I OD'd on cocaine. And the devil is so strong, y'all. He's so strong. I woke up, I mean, I was out, mouth foaming, my eyes rolled back in my head, OD'd on cocaine with IV use. My brother had got me back to life, ambulance came. And I, when I come to, they told the ambulance to leave. Without Jesus in my life, you know, the devil, it went 15 minutes. I went right back over there, picked that needle up, and done it again because that's how strong the addiction was. But in and out of prison, you know, in and out of prison, no God, no Jesus. Well, about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I got in trouble and went to jail. And I had a choice this time. So when you start getting children, when you get kids, you start seeing how your parents feel. Because, you know, all of our troubles and pains, you know, God kept his hand on us through grandma's prayers and through mama's prayers and through our daddy's prayers. They prayed for us and that was what kept us going. We always thought it was us, but it was our parents and our grandparents that, you know, their knees hit the pavement praying for us. But when we get our own kids, you start thinking, well, it's time to break the chain. Because, you know, I have a child that's a 30-year-old that just come through Crossroads program. He's clean and sober now. And I've got a 20-year-old that's in the program now, too. And not only the great thing about it is I'm managing the sober living home. You know, so I went through the program 9 months. Then I turned around and Dusty asked me to manage it. But I feel like when I got saved, I was at jail. I didn't do it in jail. I got a nudge from the judge. I didn't even know I was going to Crossroads. I went to rehab for 90 days. When I got out of rehab, my drug court officer said, "You need to be at Crossroads Sober Living by 8 o'clock tonight or I'm going to send you to prison." I was like, "What's Crossroads?" Well, y'all, it's funny, y'all. You know, 3 years ago when I was in my addiction, I'm a plumber. 3 years ago in my addiction, I plumbed the Crossroads. You know, I was plumbing the Crossroads. Didn't know nothing about it, but I was plumbing it. So now here I am. 3 years later, I'm made to go there. So Crossroads is sort of, it's my Crossroads is, you know, in Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul, he asked God, he said, what? He asked him 3 times to take the thorn out of his side, and Jesus said, "All my grace is sufficient." Well, sort of, me personally, my thorn in my side is the bad things I did to good people in prison. They read the Bible, and I would steal from them and take from them, you know. But just like Paul, he was a persecutor. He was a murderer. He was in and out of prison, but God's grace was sufficient for him. So I sort of feel Paul's story, you know. I feel like his grace is sufficient. It's the thorn that I'm going to have to live with. But it's amazing that Crossroads to me saved my life. You know, it got me close to God. I've been clean and sober now for 27 months, and I've been I get on our church every Sunday. You know, Jesus, he's a way maker, he's a chain breaker, and I felt like he used me as a vessel, because the front row at church on Sundays now, it was a half a row. Now it's 2 rows of my nieces and nephews and my brothers and their kids that was in addiction. And I felt like he was a chain breaker for me to get change my life. And the devil's hard, man. The devil's on you so hard. And I didn't realize that. But now I've been saved. I've been baptized. I go to church 4 or 5 times a week. And, you know, and it's just amazing that I know Jesus now. Hallelujah. And thank y'all for listening to my story. This is Matt. Love y'all.
My name is Matt Ellis. I got about the same story he used to tell you. I've been hooked on drugs my whole life since I was basically still in high school. I got in and out of prison. I wish you'd have got some stats on suicide, too. That's, you know, I was close to taking my own life, and when I reached out to Dusty, I just had lost my mind in and out of psych ward and all that. And but I came to church. It was cold, wasn't it, Dusty? I rode my bike to. I was at rock bottom. I didn't have nothing left, man. And I said, "Dusty, man, if you give me a shot, man, I'm trying to pull it together, you know." And they should have never started feeding me. Heck, I gained 60 pounds. Yeah, and. I have an amazing life now. Like it's falling together, and relationships are being restored. My people don't mind hanging around with me no more. You know, they washed their hands of me, which was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because you know, really, it was they get tired of it. You know what I mean? And then, but I just thank God for that brokenness. You know, I remember the first time I went to the small group bodybuilders. I sat right beside David Ray, the first one, and I said, "I'm just glad that God broke me, you know, that I'm hoping he can use this brokenness, you know, to rebuild off of." And I think that's what he wants. You got to truly surrender, humble yourself. But here's Mr. Ledbetter here. I appreciate y'all. And the praise and worship team, that was amazing. I don't know if y'all cried at church here, but I was close to tears. That was amazing.
My name's Garrett Ledbetter. I'm from West Point, Mississippi. Pretty much same story. Been doing drugs since I was 13 years old. Started off doing it to be cool, you know, to fit in and you know, to partying on the weekends. And eventually as I got older, it turned into me using drugs to cope with life, you know, deal with pain and whatever I was going through at the moment. And what it did, it led me to a life of criminal activities. It led me to... ODs, I almost died 3 different times. One time the ambulance pulled up and they said I was dead 8.5 minutes. By God's grace, I'm still here. It led me to prison. I lost my family. I lost my kids. This last time in prison, you know, I believe sometimes we play with God. And that's what I did when I was in prison this last time. I played with God. And I said, Lord, I said, you get me out of prison? I can't do it right now, so I'm so caught up in this world in here that when I get out, I promise you, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to do the right things, and I'm going to be who it is you want me to be. And I got out of prison, and I went straight back to the dope house. Well, I was there about 6 days, and I was shoving these needles in my arms, and I was just didn't want to live no more, really. I done gave up. The devil was on me, and all of a sudden, something came over me, and I couldn't shake it. I could not shake it. Every hair in my body stood up. And I couldn't shake it. And I said, I got to go. They said, where are you going, Garrett? I said, I'm going to get me some Jesus. And I found myself in Crossroads. When I got there, I weighed 129 pounds. I was lost. I was in a dark spot. And, you know, my whole life I put on these masks because I didn't want people to see how I really felt. And God's removed that mask. I wake up with joy in my heart. And, you know, I got to listen to these testimonies and hearing people's stories and started realizing there is hope. Yes, there is somebody out there that loves me and cares about me, and that's God. And I wake up and I seek him every day, and he seeks me back. And I thank Crossroads for everything they've done for me. And I just can't wait to see what path God leads me on. Thank y'all for letting me share.
God's doing big things through Crossroads. Big things. Y'all mind if I read some scripture? King James, right? Amen. All right, it's out of Luke chapter 10. And really the purpose of me reading this passage of scripture is to show everybody what's most necessary in our lives. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's about old Mary and Martha. You know, this passage has been preached so many different ways over the years, but I'm gonna make it simple. I'm gonna make it real simple. Verse 38, Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. See, Mary knew what was most necessary and most needed. Martha was distracted by everything else going on around her, and she lost sight of what was most important, which was sitting at his feet, listening to what he has to say to her. We can get wrapped up in so much. This world's easy to get wrapped up in and get real busy and just forget what's most important, what's most needed, and that's sitting at his feet, spending time with him in his word, devoting time to him. Listen to what he has to say to us through his word as we read. And at Crossroads, we want to instill in these men what's needed the most. And we're going to give them a place to go away from the world. We're going to sit them down and give them time to sit at Jesus' feet. They're going to go through classes. They're going to be discipled. We're going to work on these men. You hear me? God has equipped us. I didn't go through Teen Challenge for a 3 years stint. I've been to Teen Challenge twice, graduated both times, and then worked for them for about a year. So I didn't go through that for no reason, you know. And he's called us to do for others what he's done for us and use us as the vessel to do it. All right, now I want to show y'all ways that y'all can help us, support us. First thing is prayer. There's power in prayer, and we need it the most. That's what we need the most is prayer. Supplies, toiletries, cleaning supplies, paper towels, etc. Anything that you know household needs, we need it. Appliances, washers, dryers, commercial refrigerators, etc. Like we're talking about, we're fixing to expand. We're getting this building renovated. It costs a lot of money to do this stuff. We're going to have to get washers and dryers. We're going to have to get the refrigerators, all the appliances needed for that place, toilets, everything. We're going in. It's going to cost a lot of money. But anyway, we welcome volunteers. So your time is another way that you could help, giving your time, volunteering, helping with the renovations at the building. Also, we have Bodybuilders that Dusty was referring to is the ministry that Crossroads was birthed out of. It's they meet every first and third Fridays of every month. And what happens is there's about 100 people that come there to eat. Well, the food gets expensive. We need paper plates for that, food, volunteers to serve, volunteers to cook. Anything of that nature is welcome and much appreciated, greatly appreciated. And then obviously monetary donations. It costs money to run a ministry like this. Yeah, they do pay a weekly fee at this sober living home, but once we expand into the discipleship program, they won't be working the first 30 days that they're there. So we're going to have to pay for everything. Financially, we're going to have to be able to support them while they're there. And like, God's just doing a really big thing. He's moving so much. He's blessed us so much for being obedient. I hadn't been with Crossroads very long. I got home July 23rd of this year and come on about 2 weeks after that with Crossroads. But he's been blessing Crossroads ever since and before that. I'm thankful to be a part of Crossroads now, and I thank y'all for allowing us to come. And God bless.